For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All right, this is a message to everybody right now that has that's looking at something. Just buy it before it disappears. That's happened. Nigel, tell us the story.
Yeah, you go to you find something online on eBay and you hesitate because you don't know
you
if it's a good deal.
You save it to your cart, and you watch it for a while, and then gone. Yeah.
And then when it's gone, that's when
and
you
then
know
you realize
it
was a good deal because there's not another one. Another one's never going to pop up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I one strategy though that I have learned about eBay, which is great, is if you think if you're interested in something, put it in your cart, and the guy
They'll send you an offer.
Yeah, 50% of the time you'll get like at least 10% off.
Yeah. Do you ever go for the send an offer things on eBay?
Do you ever send offers? Hell yeah!
Oh yeah!
I just recently did that.
I'm a monster.
Yeah.
Oh, you want $100?
$35.
Like, the seller is more likely to accept your offer if you do this, and you're like, no, not today.
The thing that I think is funny is, especially if you're buying obscure stuff, like I was buying. This is the thing I'm trying to buy is a thing that you can plug like thermocouples in, but it's for measuring cryogenic temperatures.
So it's like a feed-through port?
So it's just a controller box, but it's like brand new. They're like $10,000, like something obscene. So on eBay, when you see the listing for like $1,000 or something, you're like, I think that's a good deal. So I saw one that was really good and it was like $1,300 or something. And I'm just like, I'm going to make an offer. Because I was like, but I don't want to lowball him because I don't know what this guy knows. So I'm like, I'll give him $1,100 from $13. Then I was like, no, what? $10.50. I submit it, and like 30 minutes later, he accepted it. I'm like, oh, he didn't know the value.
Yeah, you
could have gone
way lower.
It is called the bisection method. In computer science, you
$400.
You go low and you go high.
Yeah.
And you see if it's like above or below. And if it's, you know, you like, then you go in the middle. So you'd like keep basically cutting your data in half.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is you offer him like $3. They say no. And then you go a little, you know, it's a little bit different. Yeah. You're kind of like, it's a little bit different than the bisection. You're kind of working from the bottom up. It's actually not the bisection at all.
I just think it's funny because a lot of like used stuff on eBay, especially technology stuff, if it's more specialized, the person who got it probably doesn't know that much about it, especially if they're selling a lot of
items. It's probably been sitting around forever. Yeah.
And they got it from like a lot. So it's like a lab closed down and they're like, they paid some amount of money just to get all the equipment. And they look around, they go, I don't know. It seems to be used for like a couple grand. I don't know, whatever. I'll put it for like half that. But it's like, if you offer 500 or even way less, the guy might think, oh, this guy, he's the guy buying this obscure thing. He's the expert. Mm-hmm. So this is probably like he'll be actually much more likely to be lowballed. I learned a lesson in this purchase.
So the recycling place, the e-waste recycling whatever that we've been to a few times. We asked them about like where they get all this shit. Because when I say shit, I mean not even figuratively. It's literally shit.
Wowie.
It's electronic poop.
It's straight up like a facility, like a government facility or something closes down where you end up with it's a larger burden to get rid of the shit.
Yeah.
Than it is to like because you have to store it, you have to hire someone to like sift through it.
Yeah.
And they just need it gone. And so they'll either, you know, like
paid.
So I'm going to get rid of it or people will come and grab it. But usually when they come and grab it, they'll take what they want, which is why you would pay. So it's like you just take it all.
Yep.
And so they'll just literally take like an insane
amount
of shit.
They take everything like down to like little wall plugs. You
and
know?
Let me tell you, when you walk around the recycling center, boy, do they have quite literally fucking everything.
Yep.
It's horrific. It's truly insane how much crap
You're in the main building. That's a lot of stuff. You go into like the warehouse.
Then it's unorganized stuff.
Yeah, but it's like three stories tall, like of unorganized stuff.
It's the two-story building, and somehow they've like jerry-rigged the rafters to be the third.
Yeah, they have those like, you know, the hardware store pallet racks, basically. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Do they ever have like hidden gems? They must.
No, it's all crap. It's all crap. Hidden gems 30 years ago. Like fucking the first 3D printer ever.
And it's still priced like it was 30 years ago.
They like keep lowering the prices. Well, that's until...
what I mean to say is it's all really expensive, actually.
Literally.
Yeah.
They'll have people that buy shit because it's what they worked on when they were an engineer and they're retired now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He said that was like one of his big markets. Like, for like the super
memorabilia, basically. Equipment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is the scope I used when I was 25. That was in the 1800s. I'm going to buy this.
And it's still like $2,000, you know?
It's fucking crazy.
Well, what they do is they have an automated system that looks for everything else for sale on eBay, like that item, and then it prices it accordingly. So what you end up with is this like arms race. Or it's like nothing actually has any real basis in reality because all the other sellers are basing their prices on items
on each other.
On each other. Yeah.
Mm.
I love you.
Yeah.
That's why how you know I got scammed.
Damn.
Well, actually, technically, okay.
So Nigel, what was your item that got away?
I mean, in hindsight, I don't really need it that bad, but it's a scroll pump.
Mm.
I don't own a scroll pump.
You know, I don't think I've ever bought something on eBay that I actually needed, except maybe car parts.
I get a lot of stuff.
Everything is like impulse. Like I want it.
eBay, I find eBay is, I've turned to it for so many things. It doesn't come quickly necessarily, but it's way cheaper. So like one thing that I refuse to buy new now unless I need it like tomorrow are gas regulators.
Because
it's like if you go on, I had it before where you go on to like McMaster, it's straight up like $700 US for a two-stage gas regulator. I go on eBay, it was $150 local.
Yeah. No, McMaster
it's 700 US. So it's like $100 US local. But even websites, you go to a lot of other suppliers and McMaster's like the two-stage regulator is just in that range, 600 to 700 US. At maybe at the cheapest you can get is like 500, depending on what it is. But then eBay was like $100 and it was local. And I was like, that's pretty good saving.
I needed a roofing clip the other day. I showed Kevin this. There's like some things that are super specialty. You know, when you get into those weird, like it's when it's manufactured in America, you know, it's some weird shit. Because like not enough of it is used to justify making it in China and shipping it. And like there's like metal roofing stuff is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm looking for the right clip because I needed something and I didn't want to find a local shop.
So they're the clips that hold the metal panels onto the
roof. Yeah, you screw them to the roof, the panels clip into it so you don't have like exposed fasteners, which is like insane to me. They have like rubber, like little rubber O-rings on your screws.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
no,
yeah. You're just hoping your roof doesn't leak, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna leak. And so I look at a local store, like in Los Angeles, or local, I'm assuming it's a shop or like a factory that fabricates them.
Yeah, yeah, like roofing supply store.
Well, even the roofing supply stores don't have, you have to like order them from the manufacturer.
Oh, so they're like
crazy.
Made on demand.
It's super special because like who's buying these? It's installers, and installers are buying like a shit ton of them. So like why would a shop have them?
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, cool. They're like 70 cents each. I need like 200 of them. I like put it in the cart and it was like shipping or pickup. I'm like, yeah, of course shipping. I'm not going to drive the hour and a half down to like deep, deep, deep LA. And it was like $250 shipping.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? It was like $100 for the clips.
It's like I'm imagining them putting like a small box of clips on a giant flatbed truck and driving it to you.
I literally it said like 3 week lead time. And I'm like, I'm going to pay $250 for shipping. And
again, and wait.
I'm like, there's no way it's not them sending a flatbed truck with a box literally this big of clips.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Or
so
just
guess
a
what
guy.
I did? Yeah, or a guy. So guess what I did? I went on eBay.
I bent 250 roofing clips myself.
No, I did do that.
By hand.
No, I did, though.
Well, also, yeah.
So I go on eBay. I search 1-inch roofing clips. I find one. They're stainless steel, which is like more expensive. And they're 18 gauge, which is nicer. stickers shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wants $200, and it's clearly like the guy bought it for some project in like Alabama, right? He was like tired of something, he installed a metal roof, either bought too many clips or the wrong size.
Yeah.
And it wants $200, and I was like 110, and I actually didn't know what was going on because he accepted it so fast.
Really?
That I like couldn't figure out.
It just like shipped automatically.
Like, yeah, it like shipped. It said it shipped like within like 2 minutes. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? Just like, did I fuck something up? Like,
yeah.
Because I was trying to find the.
Did I type in 1,000?
Yeah. I was like clicking on my offers, and I'm like, where is it? Where did it go? Like the guy.
It's already on the way.
Notification. You're like, oh, thank God, somebody wants to buy it.
My clips.
Like instantly accepted it. So I paid like $110 with free shipping, and buying the clips from that local shop would have been like $400 unless I drove down to get them myself.
Yeah.
I love eBay.
eBay is
great. It's definitely a good way to spend too much money, though.
Should we introduce the podcast?
Welcome to this very special episode of the Save the Third podcast. Today, we're basically advertising for eBay without getting paid.
Yeah.
That means we have to like talk about negatives.
Seller fees are expensive.
I don't sell shit. Not my problem.
I know somebody that sold some stuff on eBay, and it was like they sold it for $250, and I think they only made like 120. Yeah, because there's like a sponsorship thing where eBay, like once it sells, they take a cut. And then there's like the eBay fees, which I think, God, they seem like they're 15-20%.
Holy shit.
Plus tax. Well, I think seller pays tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus some other fees that eBay has.
Hmm.
That's so bizarre. It almost like made me second guess like lowballing people, because I'm like, they're actually not going to make any money on this.
This guy definitely had these roofing clips sitting in his garage for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And he was just happy. He was just happy they're gone.
He like got a bunch of extra space and $110, or I guess maybe $70 after
50,
all
50 bucks.
$50.
Wait, with free shipping? Will, with free shipping, that
he made like $30. Oh, yeah. And then the free
that
shipping.
That man made no money.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, he has his shelf space back.
He has a shelf space. That's priceless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say this. Yeah. This podcast, very important. I have to apologize for something.
The misinformation campaign. Yeah. What did you say?
Well, first thing I'll say is, look, you should be proud of me. See this iced tea?
Is that real iced tea?
Yeah.
Let's go.
And there's no sugar in it.
Oh,
whoa. What happened?
Finally hit rock bottom.
I made it myself.
Yeah, but like, did you feel like, was there like, what are the symptoms of your toes were getting numb?
Your toes are getting numb. Your yeah.
Your piss tasted sweet.
You start getting dizzy or having seizures.
Something unusual during my nightly piss tasting.
Yeah.
Dude, everything. No, I don't know. I just want to have less sugar. But in Canada, in the US, buying unsweetened tea is like trivial. It's everywhere. Mm. Canada doesn't really, it's not a thing here.
That's funny.
So it's like, I think tea, just in general, you buy in the store it's not as popular, but it does feel like it's less of a thing. So if you do buy it, it's all like sweetened.
That's
it's all weird, flavored and sweetened.
That's like Southern US.
That's sweet. Yeah.
Like you, if you go in the South and you ask for tea, like you have to be like very careful and to super specify unsweetened, which I hate because unsweetened literally has the word sweet in it. And when you're talking over like a 1990s
it's like,
McDonald's speaker, sweet, like no, unsweet,
not sweet,
no sugar.
Yeah.
Like, can we come up with a different word for unsweetened that doesn't have the word sweet in it?
But you guys have
do this. I got to do fact, what is it called? What's the aviation alphabet called?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
U is in
phonetic alphabet.
Yeah.
Phonetic alphabet.
What is U? I forgot. Uniform.
Uranium. Uranus.
N is November. Is it?
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
O is Ohio. Yeah. I know that.
How do you know this, John?
Airplane, oh, really? Squat? No. Film use it,
okay,
too?
We got this.
They all have different alphabets, though. The aviation one, I like try to
remember. Oh, wait, I said O is Ohio, O is Oscar.
Oscar, it's
talking about
Alpha,
talking about misinformation.
Yeah, Oscar, Mike.
Charlie, Delta.
Echo, Foxtrot.
Echo, Foxtrot.
Golf.
Golf. H is...
Hotel, I said, yeah, that's Hotel? The one I knew. Yeah.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
That's
oh yeah,
okay.
Hotel.
Here, I'll read it out. No, I can't read that one. Go to the AI preview. It looks we'll just read it. It's probably oh my god, it only did part of it.
India
what?
Juliet.
What the fuck, Google? This is a disaster. It like does an AI one that goes only to Jay, and then it shows a preview of another website that like is a
guy. It's out of order.
I got it all. It's on Google. I got it all.
It says Delta, and then Quebec is Q.
N, November, yeah, B, Bravo. That's the pride. Oscar, C, Charlie, P, Papa, D, Delta, Q, Quebec, E, Echo, R, Romeo. What is this?
It's all out of order.
Oh, it's probably like, it's like three tables.
Oh,
it's like
columns?
It's three columns, and it's, yeah.
Oh. This is what AI is supposed to fix this shit, and it's like they're not using it for anything useful.
So why are you apologizing, Nigel?
Yeah, what did you do?
Stop trying to...
Tell us about your misinformation campaign.
Stop changing the subject.
It's a pretty horrible, egregious thing I've done.
Did you steal a donut?
I don't know if it's going to end up being the Patreon episode or the public one. Remember we were talking about the mole?
Yeah.
I was going to bed. I think it was 2 days later.
I had a nightmare.
I was thinking about what we talked about. And I mentioned, we talked about how the mole was
invented
or just calculated, yeah, like the number. First was gases. Some, I forget his name. He, you know, by some gas laws, approximated it.
Okay. But then the oil one.
The next one was the oil one.
Okay.
Was actually part of it. And the third one was, the most accurate one was using electrochemistry. And I said it was Faraday.
Oh, this is just a credit thing. He's dead.
No, it was, I read it and I'm like, oh, I completely misread that. And I should have known that. It was a French guy. I don't even say his name. Perrin or something. I remembered the actual story. So it wasn't Faraday. Yeah, this is, to be clear, this is not like a crazy thing. I just wanted to actually, you know, correct the record. It was that Faraday's constant or something was pivotal to do it. But he had nothing to do with it. It was this French dude named Perrin. And this is the part where it could be misinformation, because I'll add some extra misinformation.
Yes.
I forgot to double verify this. I'm pretty sure that Perrin, the reason why his name isn't common and you call it Avogadro's number and not like Perrin's number, is because I think it was him who got the most accurate number. They named it after Avogadro. They kind of gave
out of
him
respect,
the credit,
you know,
because Avogadro was the original one, I think, who like started the whole concept of quantifying it. And he's like, there is a number. So the final guy who got it was like, you know what? Give it to the guy who started this mission.
That's fair.
Okay.
But then no one remembers the guy who discovered it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all dead anyways. Like,
dude, I look it up. I was going to bed and I was like, wait a second. I don't think what I said was true.
So,
and I completely
forgot about it. All the information right, just not the name of the guy.
The actual scientist. You gave credit from one dead scientist to another.
I would say
dead
scientist. That was, you know, it's good enough, but I still lost some respect for you there, Nigel.
I lost.
No amount of apologizing will bring that back.
The very small amount of respect I had for you is gone.
It's funny because I didn't fully check that last part that he gave it to Avogadro.
Chelsea came in here with potato and a bag.
Yeah, N64. Nintendo I bought from somebody.
Nice.
Long. It's a long story.
Do you have enough controllers?
I have no idea. I think so.
Okay, sick.
I don't know. This is interesting. Maybe it's interesting. I have a friend who, like, the reason he's an engineer largely is because he was really into like console repackaging, like console miniatures.
I think I had this one.
What is it?
It's clear. It's
Shark pad.
Shark pads.
Bro.
Pro 64 squared.
Jesus Christ. And he was working on this project. He made like these like he miniaturized game consoles and would put like screens in them and whatnot. So he learned hardware, he learned programming. He like basically became a powerhouse engineer just doing like DIY like video game console projects.
Cool.
And one of the projects he wanted to do was taking an N64 and implementing it inside of an FPGA.
Wow.
And then making like a custom like modern N64. So he had completely reverse engineered the chips and the board.
And
he literally like had a PCB that you could like take all the components of an N64, repopulate it, and it would work.
Cool.
And the idea was to like minimize it and then get rid of a couple of components.
Yeah.
And so it turned out it was actually impossible to do on an FPGA because it was too you needed too big of an FPGA.
Okay.
You need like a $3,000 like
development. Yeah, they get so expensive.
Yeah, like you could do it on a development board that was meant for making ASICs.
Okay.
Like it's not, I don't think it's like meant to be in hardware. It's meant for like prototyping.
Yeah.
Because you can, I think like I'm not super well versed in FPGA and like logic programming. Lore. I took a single class and we didn't have a lab and so I didn't fucking learn anything. But you can basically, and it ended up, I think, is available to the public now, the entire Nintendo 64 architecture, like the entire logic, the entire essentially like what the ASIC is.
Okay.
Like
okay.
Imagine you're making a computer chip and you just have a truth table. You say, I would like when this and this inputs this, you make that like.
So it's like at the most basic level, it's like literally what the logic transistor in the chip.
Yeah. You at a high level, you say what you want the logic to be and the compiler takes your logic and converts it into the circuit. For the FPGA to build inside. And so like, okay, I'm gonna talk this to the best of my ability.
Okay.
You know, N64 emulators.
I was just gonna say that.
Yes.
You can do it on a Raspberry Pi.
Yes. But
it's not true.
It's worse than that.
Okay.
Is not only is it not true, but it is an estimation of what the N64 like custom made chips we're doing, like the graphics chip basically.
Yeah.
And that is why when you're driving in Mario Kart for a long time, I don't know if it's still this way, in an emulator, you know the course where there's the TV that shows you driving?
Yeah.
Does not work. Or did not work.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because that was something that the chip was doing.
Yeah.
It's like its own special function, a special piece of hardware that the emulators like could not, like just like for whatever reason, it was not, I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that makes any sense. It's like the chip is doing something.
I think it's also a problem for speedrunners. Like, you know, they can do these special things like on a console, but then if they try doing it in an emulator, it's like completely the timing is off.
Yeah.
So you can't like get between frames to going through a wall or something.
Because all of the functionality, like all of the specific commands you can ask the like graphical unit to do in the N64 are being emulated. They're basically, here is a version of it that is written in software that the computer is calculating that is close enough to get the job done. It's not doing exactly the same thing. So you lose a lot of stuff. Like a lot of games wouldn't work properly, probably either because the functionality wasn't quite the same, or actually maybe games relied on a little bit of like some buggy stuff that the hardware would do.
Oh yeah, like they had to work around the limitations of the chip to make
just
certain things happen.
Doing weird shit. Yeah. So the reason I have that Nintendo 64 is, and I think there's a game that I bought on eBay. It's just like ages ago. It's Battle Tank. I remember playing Battle Tank at a friend's house and never could beat it.
Pokemon Snap in the zone 2000 really and Pokemon, where is Pokemon Snap.
Is that it? Please God be it. No!
Yeah.
Oh, freaking shit. Where is Battle Tank?
Dude, I love Battle
Tanks.
No,
I like never really got to play it. And so I've like always wanted to play it. And I was like, I wanted to like help him do this project.
Yeah.
Like I can try to make like the actual console, like the handheld unit that is like a portable N64.
Okay.
Then I'll finally play Battle Tank on it.
Yeah.
But it's never going to happen at this point. It won't happen.
You're never going to play that game.
I just am going to, I've given up on saving the champagne celebration. And we'll just play Battle Tank if we can find the freaking cartridge.
That's one where you just like drive around in a tank.
Yeah, you shoot
and
stuff.
There's like a nuke and
I think so. I don't really pick up like tokens that spin siren. Around and you like get different
weapons. And then there's a scary like, ooh, and then a nuke goes off.
Yeah, I fucking love this game.
Dude, I get this at Blockbuster all the time.
That's a good game.
Did you play it?
All the time.
I feel like I only ever got to play it for like maybe an hour at a time or less.
Never long enough.
It was like at a friend's house. It was like my sister's friend's house and the brother had it, but he was like 3 years older than us. And so he's
beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Physically and in the game.
I need to.
Yeah, see, there's a nuke in the background.
I just want to say this. I was quiet a bit because I was looking up. I ended up reading more about the mole.
Oh, you fucking now you're gonna do another correction? What happened?
Yeah, because
no!
Nothing I said. No,
all
basically
aboard the misinformation train.
Do we have a toot sound?
I gotta do some real studying before I start spreading some
that's
info.
That's the misinformation train horn.
So I allegedly the remember I said the oil drop thing?
Yeah.
That's what the guy just said did electrolysis. He did the oil drop thing. Mm. And the oil drop thing, I think they said, is one of the most recent, most accurate ways it was calculated. But electrolysis was also used, but I can't even find anyone who did it. It's just like a thing you can do, but it wasn't apparently it was less accurate than the oil drop, according to ChatGPT. And I'm like, huh.
Do we want to talk about old bullshit experiments? Because there's only exactly one old bullshit experiment that I like truly understand because I've done a ton of research on it.
Okay. The double slit experiment.
It's not the double
definitely
slit experiment.
Definitely not that one.
It's the single split experiment. No, I'm just kidding. I don't fucking. It's measuring the speed of light. You know how they did that? Some bullshit.
With a mirror? Right?
Sort of. Kind of.
You kind of like put light in one direction and you
wait,
bounce
wait,
the light
so
into
tell
the
me,
same spot.
Do you know about when they discovered the speed of light?
It was long enough ago that for this experiment to work is impressive. I feel like all of these old school experiments, these like physics experiments, are truly impressive because some of them are tricky to pull off today.
Yeah.
From scratch. So being able to do it with shit that you could buy from wherever you used to buy stuff in like the 1800s is super impressive. John, you actually want to look up when the speed of light experiment was done. So
I'm imagining two guys on top of mountains with a flame.
Basically, yeah.
Really? Okay.
So what they did, and 1986. That's interesting. That can't be right.
It was just covered in 1996.
1676. Holy shit. Is that, I don't know if this is that exact experiment. Look up the speed of light mirror experiment.
I think what's kind of crazy when you look at all of the science stuff, just as a general statement, all the science stuff, there'll always be somebody credited. You know, usually science exploded in like the late 1700s and 1800s. But it's like they'll just say like there'll be some random dude like a monk 200 years before who basically was theorizing the same thing.
So,
or even earlier than that, like ancient Greeks and stuff were doing some experiments and it just kind of like.
It looks like 1850. Is when they did the mirror experiment. So the way the mirror experiment works is you have a mirror that rotates. And I think there was like a bunch of facets. So it was like a bunch of sides. I think it was a bunch of smaller mirrors.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Oh, and it's like measuring the interference of the light coming back?
It measures how it basically the distance between the light source and the mirror and back. And the rotational speed of the mirror
would like sync up.
Yes, exactly. If the speed of the mirror and the distance was like at the perfect ratio, you would get the light goes out and it comes back, hits the mirror at the perfect angle.
Oh, and doesn't
bounces
bounce off
to the detector.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have it perfect, so you'd adjust the speed up and down. But like being able to accurately measure the speed of the mirrors. So like imagine like I think like because I had an idea like long ago when I used to make science videos was to measure the speed of light using only stuff from the dollar store.
Okay.
That's a fucking great title.
Yeah.
People
would go out and try it themselves.
Yeah. It turns out it's pretty fucking hard and you need to spin the mirror either really fast or you need to be really far away.
Yeah, for sure.
And there, I bet you actually is like too much light pollution nowadays to even do this like in a city.
Oh yeah. I mean, think of how number one, like the mirror would probably have to be exceptional.
I have a spreadsheet and it's pretty fast.
Well, yeah. And like the surface of the mirror. I mean, you'd have to have like a really high quality mirror. And for him to do this.
No, I think it's like, I think
we're far away.
Cause you could just figure out when it, like when you're above and when you're below, you know, you just like, you speed it up and slow it down and you kind of like know it's in between the two points. They get a pretty good estimate of the speed of light.
But like, have you ever like, you know, reflected the sun, like, you know, off a mirror onto a wall that's even like 30 feet away? It's usually like super distorted.
Right. That's true. He's like retroflectors or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I think the math that I had, because I was just trying to do it in the city and like using a laser pointer, and the distance was like just over a kilometer. You'd have to be spinning. It was like, I think it was like a couple thousand.
Oh, how far away was he?
It was far. I think that they had to be really far, which is why it's so amazing to do it with candles. Yeah, 600 to 800 RPM, which is fucking fast.
Oh, and this was in water too, so the light was a lot lower.
No, they did the right? air one too.
Well, this, yeah, but that section.
1862 experiment, accurate. Foucault's. 1862 experiment. He desired to obtain accurate absolute value for the speed of light.
20 meters apart from the mirror and the
20 meters. He was able to measure the displacement of the slit less than a millimeter. Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Wait, scroll up a little bit, John.
I think like the early one was like mountains, though.
Oh, it didn't say how fast.
God, this is like a Wikipedia for podcasts where it just gives you exactly the information you want to talk about and not all the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what half these words mean. Just tell me how far apart the mountains were.
ChatGPT, man. What are you looking up?
But like imagine writing or like making an experiment where you like have a candle or some flame source in the 1600s.
Yeah.
That you have then a mirror that spins at between 600 and 800 RPM. And like you have to measure the RPMs?
Yeah, the bearings like, probably have to be super smooth too.
Could you like imagine trying to do that nowadays with shit that was, you know, you had access to, you know, like several hundred years ago?
I mean, probably I find that like a lot of times when you look at these experiments, I don't know why, at least maybe I do this, you think about how it's kind of like, you know, it's old, but you think about how you would do it today.
Yeah.
Whereas like, so with the spinning mirror in my head, I'm like, well, you connect some sort of motor with like, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't have that.
No.
So it's like my thought would then be they probably just had wooden gears and some gear reduction ratios.
Yeah, but how
and
do you a guy make a knew, constant speed?
Where the guy it, knew he just had he had motor? To do like
donkeys?
Donkey?
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
No,
like
I'm
a
saying
falling,
that you had a bunch of gear reduction.
Yeah, but then there's friction in the gears.
That's well, fine. You have to that. Just
yeah, but like, how do you, what does that mean? You count for that?
Okay,
like,
Will, listen.
Adding more, he, I don't know.
But how do you
constant,
how do you calibrate
gravity
it?
Is constant.
You, yeah, but a constant Will, force with a bunch of different friction. Like if the gears all of a sudden get more dry and less oily, like you're changing.
Well, you just keep throwing more water.
Yeah,
in the
but
bucket.
How are you calibrating it? It's almost like you.
Will,
need,
I'm
like,
explaining to you. I'm explaining yeah. to you. The guy, you know, in the 1600s, they're big on music, right? Yeah. So the guy brought his metronome, and he yeah. just. Made it so his big gear had to do one rotation for every click.
I mean, that
he
literally
played it
might
like an
actually
instrument.
Be how they did it is like timing it to make sure that it's the same speed as the metronome. Like that's insane. That maybe it was like a human PID loop where like the human was the motor trying
like,
to match
click,
the metronome.
Click, yeah,
click.
Because like the metronome is constant, you can trust it, and the human is like can adjust their force output.
Yeah,
like I'm telling you, it's fucking hard to do this shit. Without what you have, even nowadays, trying to do it is hard. Mm.
No, we could do it.
You could, but how long would it take you? Days, several days when you keep, you know,
well, an hour.
Some of the
with an oscilloscope.
No, I would use a laser and like a hobby drone motor, and then I would like 3D print something with a bunch of holes on it.
Yeah, but how fast does that have to spin?
I mean, if probably not that. I mean, those drone motors go up to like, you know, 10,000 RPM.
I know. What can you put on it that will spin at 10,000 RPM without exploding? And it's unbalanced now?
That's fine. I'll just make the motor bigger to eat the vibrations.
No, it's not. Like, okay. Here,
hey, you wanted a fast experiment, not a good one.
The analogy is like that I came up with is like you have a disc and a wall, and the disc has holes in it.
Yeah.
You're throwing ping pong balls through the holes.
Yeah. So you would want the laser to bounce yeah. out and then back in through another hole.
Exactly. So if you throw yeah. the ping pong ball out,
so if you can see the laser,
hits the wall,
yeah.
bounces back, and it hits the disc because the next hole hasn't come around.
Mm-hmm.
It won't make it through.
Yeah, you got to go a little bit faster.
So
then.
If you go, once you go a little bit faster or a little bit slower, you'll start to get, and there'll be like harmonics too, where it's like if you go, you know.
Oh
like
yeah, you'll skip one hole right. and hit the next one.
So it's like you literally have to change the speed, assuming that you're throwing the ping pong balls at the same speed.
Yeah.
The speed of light. You have to change the speed of the disc so that they bounce off the wall and come back through the hole. And once you can see them coming back through the hole, so that means like you can either have a bunch of really tiny slits in the disc to try yeah. to decrease the speed. But now it starts getting like really small details, and it's like, how do you observe that? Like, it's a really cool, really like, I would say kind of an advanced experiment mechanically.
Oh yeah. And like just to come up with this idea.
Yeah.
You know?
How many years? What is that? Is that 400 years ago? Yeah.
Even like the concept of maybe light, there's a speed to light is pretty insane to think about.
And to not even have like a baseline. I mean, maybe they had a baseline of where to start, but like what speed do you start? Like, do you have any, I got to make it go 600 RPMs. Like, where do you even come up with this? It's like, it's literally at the top end of what is easy to do. Like, it's not easy to do at that point.
I think a lot of it too is like, cause Kevin was even just asking, like, you have to know, you have to even think that light has a speed to even start your experiment. And I think that, I don't know, the same thing goes with chemistry, because it was all in such a black box. I feel like there's just a bunch of people, especially in chemistry, there's a lot of rich people who just became obsessed. They were all rich at the beginning, but they were obsessed with certain ideas. And like everyone around them is like, dude, atoms, a lot of them are like, atoms don't even exist. And the guy's like, I'm going to prove atoms exist. Like, they just have money and they're kind of obsessed with
it's something. Mental illness. Like, I actually think it might be because how could you ever convince somebody, we have to make this machine that spins at 800 RPM with mirrors that are going to fly off and disintegrate.
Yeah.
And we're going to be on like, you know, two mountain ranges away from each other. And I've got a candle.
Like the same type of person that's trying to like prove free energy exists now.
Yes.
They're exactly actually kind of insane.
Yeah. Yeah. But
well, that's what I think.
They'd be working on something productive, but everything else has been figured out. So now they're just like, free energy.
They're like, it's
that's
just,
all I've got left.
It's
come
just
on.
Clout. It's like YouTube videos. You just do crazy shit to like, you know, show people some people. Obscure.
Oh,
you said that last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
We are the
It reminds me though of, it's just like the Kevin said, the perfect analogy. It's the free energy people today where everyone looks at them and they're like, dude, you're stupid. Mm-hmm. But then one guy discovers it and everyone's stupid. Like, wow, you're amazing.
Yeah. We should clarify that free energy people are stupid.
I'm just saying that it's funny because I just think about that in general. Like that's how just society works as a whole. It's kind of like in science, you know, everyone going into science should assume they're not winning the Nobel Prize, but it's like everyone kind of has to still hold on to this belief that maybe they will. And it's like everyone who goes into music or art is like, statistically, I'm not going to go anywhere, but I could become that world famous scientist. And it's like, you somehow need to have mass delusion so that one guy whose delusion was real was able to like just pop out.
I want
to
be a world infamous scientist.
Yeah.
Oh no. That's not that hard to do.
For the free energy stuff, I want to say if you actually like build a machine, if you like discover something that is free energy, it's fucking radioactive and you need to get away from it. There's like no other explanation.
Yeah. Or you've discovered just some like crazy physics thing.
No, it's radioactive.
You're actually
my life
stealing energy from another dimension.
And
you're not going to do that with some magnets and motors in your basement.
Yeah, you either found something radioactive or aliens are about to burst out of your fucking thing and tickle your asshole.
Yeah.
The thing that I kind of like, I mean, the thing that I always find interesting is like, all those people try to discover free energy. They'll be like, I'm going to tape a magnet to a battery with a paper clip and it spins and you're like, you're using the battery. And it's just like,
but it keeps spinning for a second after I turn it off.
You know,
none of the people who are trying to, as far as I know, come up with these things, they're all just kind of mishmashing existing products together. It's like to revolutionize, you probably aren't going to just, connect a battery with a magnet, which has been done a billion times.
I think what really, like, to me solidified the idea of the not free energy, because I had, you know, when I was a kid doing basic physics,
you
I was
believe
like,
it.
What if you, like, lifted something up, like, a foot, and then you, like, put a, you know, a zip line down for, like, 2 miles, and it was, like, slowly rolling down? Like, how would that not give you more energy?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, when you, like, you realize eventually that, like, half of the useful physics you can do, you can skip all the like kinematic shit and you just go straight to energy or like the like accelerations and velocities and stuff, and you just like, what is my gravitational energy, and then convert that into your kinetic energy.
Yeah.
And it's just like a direct conversion.
How do they miss that?
It's like you don't. There's no fucking. How long did it accelerate for? Yeah. And how long this is just straight up convert it.
It's like this is how much work it can do.
Yeah,
you pick it up this high. This is how much work it does.
Just direct conversion from energy to energy, and it's like the easiest physics is just moving energy around. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Why there is no such thing as free energy?
Yeah,
like
you know what's the most free energy is. Like you said, radioactive rocks and the sun.
Yeah.
Just like solar energy. Why don't these people just use solar panels?
Because they're mentally unwell.
They spend so much money on magnets.
Yeah. I know.
Buy a solar panel.
Like 500 neodymium magnets on this like 8-foot diameter piece of plywood. <I know. laughs> Like what?
And that's the thing that gets me too.
Wait, I know the
like
video you're talking about. Are you talking about? No, he used it to boil water, though. That was kind of sick.
Okay, because I was going to say, all these free energy analog things that I've heater. Seen, all the free energy things that I see, it's always because it's hinged on the system where it's like borderline, they're putting 300 joules in, but they think they're getting 301 joules out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like they do their perpetual motion where it's like a pendulum swinging and all this. And I'm like, I did it. And you're like, great. Do something with that energy.
Right.
But they're like, even if it was working, all you've managed to do is like the classic thing. I pushed a ball bearing and went down the hill, up, and it went in a circle. I'm like, there's no energy there. Even if you were doing it, you got like nothing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe you scaled it up to like infinity size, but it's like,
right.
The reality is they're all
it's clearly an error.
Not getting free.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's clear, it's within the margin of error, like, but there's no extractable
energy. You had to get the disc
stirred
by hand, and like that energy is what carried over to, that kind of thing. Where it's like, it's extra energy.
But it's like
a
cosmic
ray hit it and just kept it going for like another split second.
It's like within that realm where it's like if your ceiling fan was on, it's like that little bit of air push is what's giving it the energy. And I'm like, you're not going to do anything with this system. There's nothing, like, even if your thing's true and you scale it up by 100,000 times, you're getting like 3 joules per rotation.
How do you get
1 joule?
How do you find yourself there at that point?
I don't know, but I'm terrified of it. I'm like, this could probably just happen to you, know?
But like
these people seemed like
why not
smart
do
at one
something
point.
Else? Because there's other stuff you can do. Like what is it about perpetual energy that's so attractive?
Okay, it's perpetual energy. For some reason, HHO generators like fall. It's like the same group of people, and like people trying to remake like Tesla's experiments and Tesla like turbines and stuff.
Like,
I don't get
it. Is like the lore, like almost the lore is like such a strong like psyop, the idea of like Tesla, Nikola Tesla and the Tesla turbine. Like they almost treat it like movie lore, but it's real. Because, like, you can do other stuff other than perpetual energy that's cool.
Born too early to explore the world. Born too late to explore the world.
Born too stupid to
early
explore the world.
To explore the universe. Born just in time to make stupid free energy videos on YouTube.
I mean...
Because it's like, what I discovered, it's like, it's a conspiracy the government is keeping from us. Like,
I think so, it, like, ties into UFOs, too.
I think the best way to explain it is... It's... Discovering something that's truly impactful is probably not easy. Like when somebody comes out with a big thing, like, oh, we discovered, the transistor. The guy didn't just like wake up in the morning and it was like, his cat found it. It's just like, after 20 years of, it's like after 20 years of constant failures and other stuff and it's slow iteration. It's like almost not even rewarding for a lot of discoveries because it's like the guy spent his whole life working on it and it finally, it's always kind of worked and now it like actually works pretty well. But that's not like, that's not exciting. What's exciting is you just, there's what people build up in their head, that eureka moment where it's like, kind of like how LSD was discovered. It's like the guy was just, messing around, decided to taste something and whoa, he got high. It's like, people
nobody
like that. People like that story just because it's kind of just like so
relatable.
It just kind of happened and it's just wow, it's amazing.
There. I think it's it's a little bit like making a video where you don't really show the true amount of work that goes into making something.
Exactly.
You have to let the audience explore the idea in a way that's not as painful as it was for you to explore it.
Definitely.
Like having to, spend like re-spend a day like cutting and grinding and welding something that you like fucked up or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't include that because it's not interesting. And so you have to kind of compartmentalize and choose and pick and choose which moments to use to like tell a story. It's like, oh, and then I suffered here, but then I overcame it. Not yeah. here's I suffered. And then I suffered more. Mm-hmm. And then I suffered more. And then I suffered more.
No, no. The free energy people are always winning. They're always like, yeah. I figured it out.
It's just
it
like,
out.
Oh, we, it's like we did it. They did it with like no effort. It's almost like movie. And then you look at like most science yeah. and you realize like, oh, they spent, you know, $100 million in 10 years. And then the previous yeah. 100 years of figuring all the precursors to get to like, oh, this might be a possible idea that we could connect and prove. Like,
yeah.
What I think is interesting, I think everybody has that allure, like it finds it alluring, that eureka moment. Because yeah. that, I think, at least for me, is what makes me even do projects. Because it's like, for example, I'm trying to, you know, I usually keep all my projects secret, but, you know, I'm turning a new leaf. I'm talking about them. Like, I'm trying to make liquid helium. Mm. And it's like the thing that keeps me going is just, I don't know. I just have like an image in my head of like
want to know what it tastes like.
Yeah, exactly. There's just something about it. It's like
urethra.
Me picturing a cup.
Urethra!
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just holding, I imagine myself siphoning it out of the thing I'm making it in into like a doer, and I'm just holding, I'm holding liquid helium. And it's like, to me, that's this pivotal, really cool moment. And I just kind of like focus on that.
I guess, yeah.
And there's right. just like this, it, I think that's what you, but you know what I mean? Like for your projects too, it's like you focus on at probably like
you're
these certain moments that
it's yeah. pretty cool.
that you want to experience. Yeah. But I think what's funny is usually depending on how the projects are, if they go on really long, by the time you get yeah. there, it's like no, it could be epic, but
oh,
it's
yeah,
like
you're
the
like
moment
finally
you get,
it's over with.
yeah, right when you get the payoff, you're like, yeah, you're like, oh, my, it's like relief. Whereas what you said about the videos, I find very interesting because it's like the viewer. Kind of gets the ultimate yeah. form of the art
perfect.
Where it's like,
yeah,
they get, and I always say this, they thought that idea of doing this cool thing only popped in their head when the video, when they saw the thumbnail and they're already getting the payoff because they're watching you go through it. Yeah. And within 20 minutes, they're like, oh, that's I got great. That payoff.
Yeah. And then you're sitting there like months,
yeah.
months of work. If there's,
that's how it is.
If there's anything I've realized that like helps me do yeah. new things, is that when you watch somebody do something or like hear of them doing something, and you know it's sort of presented, I don't know, whatever they did it quickly or whatnot, you can always just assume. Yeah, okay, well, I'll give you an example. You know when you watch an artist,
yeah,
and you're like they're a really good artist,
they make it look easy,
and then you try it and you're like I'm really shit at art. You know what the difference always is? Every single time, like the bulk of the difference is that artist spent 18 hours on the drawing and yeah. You thought you could do it in like 30 minutes. You're like, why does my 30 minute drawing
oh,
look like
oh,
ass?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
true.
That's literally yeah. it. Is the people who are really good at it have figured out that it's not something that happens quickly.
Hmm.
And the people that are new just have this weird assumption that it's done quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that
18 hours just drawing
a
perfect circle.
Yeah. Over, like you just erase it until you're like burned a hole through the paper. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect.
But I think that that's when I think about it now, that's part of the, you know, the quote unquote process. Cause I know when I started YouTube, it was like, if you couldn't start a video, film it in one shot in like 30 minutes, it's yeah. like, what are you doing, man? And there was this slow thing where it's like over time, as I kept filming videos, I would just push the time that it took me to film it because I'm like, oh, that's okay if I have to leave it overnight. Oh, that's okay if I have to come back to it. And it's like you start to respect that these more intricate things just take time.
Yeah.
So like I just realize now there'll be something I go, yeah, that's it's going to take me 3 weeks to do that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Whereas it used to be if it took more than one day to film, edit and post the video was like ludicrous.
Yeah.
Filming, and I, like,
editing,
to your point,
and posting a video yeah. in a single day is something that can be done, but that is absolutely out of the normal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like maybe a short or something, but like if you're actually
yeah,
if
yeah,
you're
yeah.
gonna make like a 10 to 20 minute video.
Oh no, that's
like,
impossible.
You
that's impossible.
Basically cannot do it in a day unless you're really good or the video
or don't
is
care
really
at all.
Demo Ranch did it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the videos were really good.
No, he had a great system. I mean, it's yeah. a shooting video. It's kind of like the same thing every time.
It's a very, he had it down.
Yes.
He knew exactly what to do. Yeah. The videos were nothing special. It was like a routine that he went through.
Yeah.
And I would say the videos were just, they were not like, you know, it was
not
just like
groundbreaking. Yeah. They're not bad.
It was carried by his personality.
Yeah.
The videos were. Yeah.
But then you could argue.
It was pretty cool.
Like
too.
I would give an argument like for Demo Ranch stuff. If you were to say, hey man, why don't you take 2 weeks to really refine that video?
It'd
I wouldn't be better.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I wanted to see a guy test something with a gun. Yeah. He did it. I want him to chill. And it's like, if you tell him, write a script, get all these shots, like, you know, perfectly set up, it just would be like this weird, sterile. So in some cases, doing more is worse.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest actually secret to being successful on YouTube, actually, that you said is like his setup inherently made the content better or less work.
Uh-huh.
If you can, I can't really give any direct tips or tricks to this, but like if doing more work makes your video worse, you have basically come up with like the perfect system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't ever fucking veer away from it.
Yeah. Like, if you can make a YouTube video with like the lowest effort possible.
Yeah. Like it means it's like more real, more organic, and like that's probably what people are like.
It's like what you're probably interested in too.
Yeah. Like it definitely, like the fact that he had something, like when we did the like the laser cutting videos where it's like, can a laser cut something? If you can set up an experiment that you can do in a day, you could probably make a video in a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's, people don't really do stuff like that. I mean, they still kind of do it, but like, you know, like the unboxing videos stuff, are kind of like that, but you just like you're going through someone else's material.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
If you have to make your own material or you're doing your own experiments, or you're trying to do something, you're trying to synthesize something interesting from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it in a day.
No. No way.
It's even... And I think the prep time is always deceiving because like for when I did a giveaway for my last video with, I think that was the giveaway for the atomic trampoline. I wanted to do a funny thing. So what we came up with was to have a bunch of numbers and I would throw them in the air and then catch one.
Mm.
And then we had a system to randomize it to which email that somebody sent it would be. But it's like, I didn't do all the work cutting it up. It was poor Zach who did everything. But it's like he had to do his arts and crafts, but he printed out 500 numbers. He had to cut them all out, and then he had to cut another thing out, and he put it on like a Bristol board. He put 0 to 1 to 500 because I shot a slingshot at it, but it still took him like a while to just, you know, organize all the numbers, then chop them, and it was like an hour plus to just do that little arts and crafts. And it's like, that is stuff that you just don't even think about in the video.
Yeah. Yep. It's for the paper cutouts. Yeah, no, 100%.
It was just like nothing prep.
One little
just
bit,
some cut up.
I do that stuff
cut up papers and a Bristol board of paper. And it just took, I think it took an hour and a half. Because he still was like, he had to like space them out. And he'd like stand back and be like, does it look like they're evenly spaced on the Bristol board? Then he had to like glue every single one down.
What's a Bristol board?
A presentation board.
Okay.
Or something.
Like the trifold thing?
I think so.
No, just like the hard cardboard.
Like a whiteboard?
Workboard? Bristol. I've never
heard
Bristol board.
Presentation board.
John, search Bristol board. Is this like the UK, like rubbers as erasers?
Yeah. Also, speaking of Demolition Ranch, pour one out for the homies.
What happened?
YouTube, he's dead, his YouTube channel.
They killed it?
What?
He killed it. He said he's done.
Why?
Moving on to chapter two.
What's chapter two?
Not YouTube, just hanging out with his family.
Gosh.
He's selling the ranch.
He's just
basically tapped
out completely?
Yeah. Totally.
Wow.
I'm not sure if it was just Vet Ranch. I think it was everything though.
That means he's like,
but wait, when did he post this?
Oh, this was like a month ago. Go look up Look up Demo Ranch and see if he's still posting.
I don't see anything. He is still posting.
On Demo Ranch. He might have videos that aren't released, but I think on his main, on Off the Ranch or Vet Ranch, he said that he's stepping away.
Huh.
I can't.
Oh, yeah, I'm quitting.
I can't
believe
3 weeks ago. He's lasted this long. I feel like I would be so bored out of my mind doing the same crap over and over again.
That's probably why, like,
dude, guns are
Like, I think he's like a part of Bunker Branding. So I think he's got a lot of money from that.
What's Bunker Branding?
It's just like a clothing store. I think it's like him and Richard Ryan and somebody else.
I mean, this guy's made bang.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and probably gets to a point where he's just
wait, why
like,
does it say divorce YouTube update? There's no way he's divorced. If you just type in Demo Ranch, it says Demo Ranch divorce.
The AI overview?
He would use a certain profile picture.
What?
Weird. So it's just like yeah. So no actual divorce. It's just somebody says smells like divorce.
Jesus Christ.
Can you believe that, bro?
I hate that shit. It's like a Reddit thready. People immediately jump to these conclusions. What a awful, nasty.
Yeah. There is no way.
Like,
why would he quit his channel because he's getting a divorce?
Yeah, I would quit because he's just doing the same thing.
So
over I've
got
and over
so
again.
Much money.
Yeah, and that too.
Yeah. But there's no way. Also, like, there's no way he's gonna quit Demo Ranch like completely. I think he enjoys this stuff. He probably just wants to enjoy it without having to film it. Is my guess.
Maybe, dude. There's no way he's not just bored out of his mind doing that crap. He like actually like really. How long can you?
Dude, like shot every single gun in the world. Yeah.
It's
like 1,000 bullets in each gun.
I strongly am on the side of shooting guns is fun for like 5 minutes. And you're like, all right, let's go play with fireworks.
Yeah. Like what it's do you do when you've driven every sports car?
It's just
sit around and wait for the new one.
I don't get it.
You'll figure out they're all kind of the same.
They're all the same. Some just push harder and make different sounds.
Yeah. Just like guns.
Yeah.
Dude, all chemicals are the same. They just
taste different.
No, chemicals are different.
They all taste, you know. Yeah, like Kevin said, they have funny smells, but you know, they're all the same.
Like if you've shot 5 guns, you've shot them all.
No, I know. I it's like I agree and disagree.
Pistol,
in the sense
shotgun,
of like,
rifle,
it's basically fucking cannon.
Yeah, maybe machine gun and a cannon. There you go.
So like I think the mechanics and like the engineering side of just guns is really interesting, but so, and I think if you did like a more of a nerd channel with the shooting where it's like specifically about the mechanics, how that affects like, you know, bullet trajectories and all that stuff. I'm just saying I can see why somebody would get into that
gun,
but
people,
it's like
that's what
people,
I would do.
It's like kind of the same thing, you know. It's like
I'm just saying there's only so many watermelons you can blow up,
yeah,
or like, you know, 2-liter soda bottles,
yeah,
where until you're just like it all looks the same.
Here's a gun experiment I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I want to take
a gun that shoots a gun. It's like
well, that's kind of like Jake Lasers.
Did he do that?
Well, he did the Spider-Man thing. It was basically like a gun that shot a cartridge with another 22 blank in it, and when it hit a piece of plywood, it shot a nail into that plywood.
That's great.
Yeah. No, but
see, like that.
Let me tell you my video idea, Nigel.
I thought that was it.
No, that was
Jake's Laser's idea.
No, it's
I want to take
a shotgun and I want to put as many BBs as I possibly can into it. I want to completely fill it up with BBs.
Dude, I think that would just blow up.
Maybe.
No,
so maybe I'll start low and I'll just keep pouring.
Kevin.
And then I'll shoot them
straight up.
What?
Can I send you? I have tungsten shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to be clear that you put enough BBs on there, it's the same as putting a cap on the end of it. Like,
yeah, just like
close.
A solid rod,
yeah.
Right? Uh-huh.
No, but I mean, like, literally, like, welding it closed. Like, you're just making a pressure vessel using gravity as a lid.
Okay. I'll get a really strong gun then.
Will.
So I'll see how far you can shoot a full shotgun barrel full of BBs. There's a lot of things you can use. When I was a kid, I used to, like, you know how you can put more than one BB in your BB gun by, like, loading them? So I would just do that, and then I would point it straight up and shoot it straight up. No, listen.
I've done that.
Yeah, you've done that too.
I've done that before, Kevin. I packed it with so many. You shoot it straight up and went, and just like, they just kind of like all fell out the front. You're like, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah. I think this might be like an energy transfer thing where there is a point where it's the most efficient and it's definitely not going to be anything more than what's like in the.
Actually, I think the more you put in there, it's going to transfer more energy. But
yeah, but
it's
then
also...
you have more mass to accelerate.
Yeah, yeah, but oh, but it's like you have velocity squared too, right?
Yeah, so I think there's a point where you can like the expansion rate, the pressure, like everything combines with the mat, like.
So I guess it's energy on target, not just energy that you're harnessing from the explosion.
Yeah, you need to pump the energy into the BBs, and the more BBs you have, the higher the pressure can build, and the longer it'll spend in contact, but also the more mass it has to accelerate, and
so
the
chamber pressure is gonna spike. Yeah.
Like, if
there's nowhere for
BB,
that explosion to go, so it's just going to...
Right. Like, one BB probably won't go faster than two BBs, and two BBs probably won't go faster than 10 BBs, but 10 BBs will definitely go faster than 100 BBs. Like, there's some point where you're going to reach, like, the, like, most efficient energy transfer.
Yeah.
And I think having the barrel completely filled is absolutely not that point.
So here's a thumbnail idea. It's a shotgun cartridge. Yeah. And then like small, and then like medium, and then long. It's just like a really long red bullet.
Dude, I think YouTube, like, I don't think you could do that. I think you would. I mean, you could. I think
I believe in you, Kevin.
I think that would have worked 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
I think now it'll get shoved into the back corner.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the ice cream.
It's a shame because it is kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah.
How many?
I would really
shoot
like
straight
to,
up, and how many can I catch in my mouth to come down?
Kevin, don't use pellets. Use candy.
You put gummy berries in a shell.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I could do that.
Which candy is the best ammunition?
Nerds.
See, that's I think that's a Demo Ranch video or something.
Really? That's where he's at now?
I think that. Yeah. I mean. No, maybe a Tauf Fledermaus video.
I really want to do is just make. If I do anything else with a gun. I want to do. I want to make exotic ammo.
What does that mean?
Same. So it's like.
Tungsten.
Tungsten is like you can make your own like tungsten sabot or whatever.
Subcaliber, hypersonic sabots.
Yeah, and then or you can do like you can make your own depleted uranium round.
What about undepleted uranium?
I don't know if that's legal in Canada though.
Has anyone done an undepleted uranium round?
Yeah,
that's got to be a war crime.
We've done
right?
a few of those in America, over
not,
in Japan.
Not a gun. I was gonna say not a gun. Wait.
Technically, one of them was a gun.
John, type in undepleted uranium bullet. What do you call?
I think they frown upon the undepleted uranium.
Fizzle uranium.
I feel like if we Google search, we're gonna have to specify the opposite of uranium, or it's gonna just give us depleted.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I'm just saying one of the atomic bombs did shoot uranium into uranium.
Yeah, it's all fucking. It's all. I knew this
inside.
It just gives you depleted uranium. Just say, has anyone ever made? Dude, this has to be a war crime, right? Because you're just like sending radioactive material as a bullet. Like,
it would be so bad. I mean, like, just the.
No one has ever produced an. Oh, this is AI overview. No one has ever produced an undepleted uranium bullet. Depleted uranium, which has significantly lower level of radioactivity, is what's normally used. Yeah, no, yeah, that's exactly why we're
asking.
Dude,
I want it to be so radioactive it kills them even if I mess.
Yeah, the bullet's not even the scary part.
What's another exotic thing you could do? I want to do metallic glass.
Do ice bullets.
Oh, a mech glass bullet would be really interesting.
What's that?
It's like
metallic glass, yeah.
And it's just strong metal. It's really sharp. It would basically like, I don't know if it would. Oh.
So allegedly what people do is they mix, you make like a mesh framework with tungsten.
Okay.
And then you put the metallic glass around it. But when it hits, it's supposed to, I forget what it's actually called. It's shear sharpening. I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
actually something impact sharpening or whatever. So when it breaks, it shears off as needles. So it makes it impact.
Oh wait, I got
like,
one.
Work
asbestos.
Even better.
Mm.
You don't. Yeah.
What about diamonds? Like.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that would be kind of like the mech glass.
You could like bedazzle somebody.
Diamond.
Yeah.
Or like,
dude,
gold.
I'll get. I'm
like,
actually.
Imagine
I'll get,
filling some like this is fucked up, but like, well, I don't.
Dude,
know
I'm
why
gonna make a diamond bullet.
But you like you like mark if you get my word. Shot, you're like full of like what I don't know $1,500, $2,000 worth of gold pellets.
Oh, gold pellets? Yeah. It's like, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you just,
it's like you're,
they can pay their medical bills with the little pellets.
Pulling the pellets out.
I'm going to make, you just gave me an idea. I'll give you some royalties.
The gold would be great too, because it's like, how much heavier is it than lead?
Oh, like.
Way heavier.
Gold's like 20 grams. Lead is 13.
Yeah.
So.
As a boost. That's
nice. And you, I think it's like maybe even softer than lead too. So it would be great. Yeah.
Oh wow.
You could shoot anybody with it and the bullet would just like deform a lot and it would.
See, that's the gun.
You would never lose the bullets basically.
The bullets just need to be really expensive.
you have to go and pick them
up.
Dude,
it's like the can, the CRT for cans, the California retail tax or whatever. Is that what it stands for?
Where
like, they artificially increase the value of soda cans.
Wait, I think somebody's done this before. I think Tau Fledermaus did. Gold bullets, gold
I think
slugs,
Cody
or was
it
demo ranch?
I think Cody.
Sounds like, yeah, I was like, it sounds like a Cody thought, video.
I think Cody did a golden bullet.
Gold.
Oh,
slug
DJ Khaled did it too in 2015.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, Cody's lab making and shooting a solid 24 karat bullet 8 years ago.
Oh, Tau Fledermaus did it too.
But I want to do alloys and weird exotic materials because like, obviously, gold is somewhat. Easy to get.
You probably could start up a business in Canada too now. I mean, I think that's the vibe I'm getting is you guys are going to do some arms manufacturing.
Yeah.
Really?
But you gave me a good idea, Will. Will, you gave me a good idea. Diamond bullets. I'll make
those.
I
like
that. That has
bullets.
Not been done.
I think that could be pretty cheap too.
The only problem with all of that, because I thought about that before, you shooting something really hard, that's you get one shot and your gun's barrel is destroyed. You would have to wrap it with something. Like you would have to put like a copper shell or something around it.
Mm.
Oh, you could also
because the diamond will just eviscerate your barrel.
I didn't think about that.
Okay. What? You can do this one, but you can't because it's my idea. It's a light gas gun.
What's that?
It's a gun that like compresses, say like you fill the barrel with helium. High pressure helium or hydrogen, you shoot a bullet and it compresses the heat helium or hydrogen to like, you know, giga PSI or something like that. And then there's a seal at the end, a break. What do they call it?
A membrane.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like,
Yeah. And it breaks and then it pumps all of that super high pressure gas into a very thin diameter, another barrel that's a lot thinner than the other one, narrower.
Mm.
And it will shoot like a, you know, projectile like the size of a grain
like
of rice.
Like skewer.
It,
like a
it goes at.
Like
it goes 20, at speeds
feet per second.
Yeah, I was looking at that, Kevin, because I was looking into using metallic glass as like something bulletproof.
Okay.
And there's only one paper I found. I think I talked to you about this,
is
and
this
I was like,
single
wait.
Use thing.
No, but they're big. The barrels.
I thought
are
it was
like,
a mistake.
You know, an inch thick.
I thought it was a mistake because they're like we made metallic glass like pieces. And we tested it as potential sacrificial armor for space stuff. And they're like, we shot projectiles at it. Because I just wanted to see what a bullet or a projectile would do. But they're like, we shot projectiles at it in a range where the lowest speed was 1 kilometer a second, followed by, I think they're like up to 9 kilometers a second. And I was like, wait a second, that sounds really fast. I looked it up and yeah, it was like Kevin saying like 20,000 feet per second. And you're like, huh.
Yeah.
That's fast.
Dude, you shoot like one of these projectiles at like a block of aluminum, solid like block of aluminum. And
it
looks like you shot a shotgun slug at a clay target.
How do you
like
get
a block of clay?
Just like liquefies the metal.
Piston,
yeah.
The
through,
first
yeah.
piston is like a bullet.
Yeah.
What the fuck happens on the inside?
It compresses
the
gas in the first barrel.
Is it just a piston?
It gets wedged in it.
Do they have to fucking drill it out?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's some
or tap it out.
It seems like a destructive process.
It's a slow process. Yeah. You probably only fired a couple times a day, you know?
It's not good for home defense.
Oh yeah, and like you can look up videos of them like using them on YouTube. And these guys have to like there's so many couplings and like
yeah.
Dude, yeah. The whole thing is like
a
also
bomb.
It has to be evacuated, like a vacuum on this other barrel.
It's literally a bomb.
Yeah.
Like actually a bomb.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
So many flanges.
That's
they have
some,
to like
that's,
bolt
that's
together.
Actual rocket science. Because if you do not let that gas leave fast enough,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you have to time the like brake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
thing,
interesting.
The brake membrane.
So I think it says there's you shoot. I'm watching a video.
Burst disc.
And it shoots a slug. Yeah, that's what it was. Shoots a slug down the barrel, and as it's compressing, when it hits the end, the barrel narrows, and I guess you're using like lead or something, so it seals. Like it actually just squishes into the. Yeah. I can send you the video I'm watching.
I tried making
I think
one.
That's kind of how your asshole works.
I tried making one of these before.
What happened?
Exactly. It's kind of like a butt.
I think it worked a little bit, but I was using lead bullets, and the lead would end up getting ejected from the small, either stuck in the smaller barrel. But if I didn't put the smaller barrel on, the bullet would just get squeezed out into like a piece of spaghetti. So like,
really?
Yeah. Uh huh. I have some pictures. Maybe I'll send them to John. You can put them up here.
Dude, light. These guns are crazy.
Yeah, so I think I could make a small scale version of one of these in the garage.
I mean, this is kind of like it's literally like a boost converter, because you're like you're taking a mass, you're charging it up with energy, and then you're forcing that energy to be dissipated into a smaller.
It's an impedance transformation.
Yeah.
How far can it shoot, Kevin?
I don't think they can shoot very far. Or the one that I made,
because it just falls apart.
Yeah, well, it's
like, I was gonna say, I'm
if
watching
you did
a video
it in
where
air, it would probably just burn up.
So what we have to do?
Holy
Kevin, yeah. Kevin. This is our project. Okay. We'll do a joint project. I saw a clip here. What we do? We probably need like $100 billion to do this project.
Okay.
So pretty simple. So what we want to do is launch a moderately sized projectile using a massive gun. One that can take the heat, so some sort of tungsten projectile, and we can shoot stuff in space.
Ooh.
To space?
So it's a surface-to-space gun.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to
shoot
things.
We can shoot satellites out of orbit.
They just don't look the same as when they started.
What?
I think if you get something from surface to space, it's not that hard, but getting it to surface and space in the same condition that it started on the surface is hard.
All right, Nigel, I accept your business proposal.
Yeah. We got to just start funding. We need our target's $100 billion.
For the first round, right?
I think the most expensive part of this is getting shit into space without it getting destroyed.
Yeah, or blowing up the gun itself.
You have a $100 billion setup.
You know what we're going to figure out with our $100 billion of research?
That Mexico is a great place to vacation.
You just like use a rocket instead.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
get it up there
you slowly. Just pay Elon Musk to do it. SpaceX.
Could you realistically, like, what do you think is the biggest thing that we could, with our non-existent budget, get to space? Because we could do it. It would be hard. You could build a rocket. Mm. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
Like us.
Yeah, us.
No.
You could
not
do
in
a rocket
lifetime.
In
a rocket?
You could do a rocket to space for like several $1 million.
Okay, here's my idea that is
into,
that's
crowd into orbit, though.
Yes.
No, what do you mean into orbit? Like, we get it in the right place? I'm just talking, you get it above a certain altitude.
Well, what's altitude?
I think you can get it.
I have no idea.
Orbit would be hard, actually.
I think orbit is basically escape velocity or something. All right,
here's my idea. Basically zero research on this, too, by the way. So
okay.
But you have no payload.
Rocket and high altitude weather, balloon strap.
That might be a little bit more doable.
You cheat. I can't believe that you said that. This is fucking amazing for me. This is a huge win for William's intrusive thoughts. You cheat the first, what, how many percent? How far can a high altitude balloon go?
10 miles?
And how far?
No, maybe like 20 miles.
How much higher do we have to go for whatever this goal is?
I think maybe like 20 more miles.
Dude, you just cut the whole fucking
maybe
thing in half.
Maybe
100
more miles.
Do we have any idea? Does anybody know? Where is space? Where does space start in Earth end?
Space starts where
if we tied a rabbit to
anymore.
A weather balloon, when would it have a bad time?
When do your eyes pop out of your head?
First of all, you need to do a hamster. Hamsters are the real...
The Cayman line?
50
not,
miles.
I did not play Kerbal Space Program.
That's pretty far.
So, how high can a weather balloon go?
I think like 100,000 feet.
This is exactly how Google fucking treats me. Is it gives me
different
units.
20 miles.
I'm like, Google, first of all, when I search densities of stuff, why does it come back in 1,000 different numbers for every substance? No, I don't want the AI overview for this. This is
high can a weather balloon go in miles?
Oh my fucking God, it's 400 different units. It's 1,000 feet per minute. It typically ascends 100,000 feet. It can drift more than 120 miles. Like, give me one unit. I can't believe one of these isn't in inches. 100,000 feet to miles. This, I swear to God, I can't believe they haven't fixed the unit shit. It drives me absolutely insane. I hate unit conversions.
Give me a unit and I'll convert it.
100,000 feet to miles. Did you search?
It's like 20.
Just type in 100,000
feet. 100,000 feet. You got five. Yeah, it's like 20.
20 miles.
It's
okay,
like 20.
Good. So we get, and then how high do we have to go? 50?
Yeah, I guess.
And
international. Maybe we want our rocket to hit International Space Station. What does that say?
Okay, well, first of all, you can't say
no,
shit
that's like
that,
250
you can't
miles
stay,
up.
Take
I think.
That back. Say we didn't mean it literally.
In Minecraft. In Kerbal
okay,
Space Program.
Thank you.
In
whoever NSA, I don't know. Do they still have money to listen to us?
It's a benchmark, okay? Because we're going to be intercepting stuff that's going to hit the space station, so we have to protect it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's what I was elaborating.
Yeah. Okay, so how much does gravity decrease when we get to the 20-mile mark? Are we like a significant reduction? No.
No. I don't know. No.
I don't think so.
Also, what's the cost of helium to lift up your rocket? You know, it might be cheaper just to do rocket fuel.
I have no idea.
Or hot air.
Just
a big hot air balloon, maybe.
No. You're thinking about this all wrong. There's a better gas.
Hydrogen?
Hydrogen, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason you're weightless in space is because you're in orbit.
Yeah.
How far away from the Earth do you have to get before you literally don't have to be orbiting to feel weightless?
You can feel weightless on the surface if you just go really fast.
So in order to get something to space, if we're using a weather balloon, we're just cheating the first 20 miles. And then we have whatever we've lifted up that high needs to then be able to sustain. Dude, how much weight can a weather balloon? I think this is really a fucking hard problem.
I think that rocket fuel is cheaper.
Wow.
Rocket fuel is definitely cheaper.
Definitely, the more I think about this, the more I realize why rockets are so big.
Also, John, look up smallest orbital rocket. I think I've done this before, and it's like 20,000 pounds.
Yeah. That is so fucking funny that like the smaller it is, the worse, the harder it is to solve. Like you have to have so much energy.
Oh, it's
that you need the volume.
5,000.
You need an enormous volume.
Yeah.
So you like have to expand so you get your cubic power of volume for your fuel.
Otherwise you have to be like extremely efficient.
Yeah. And then the more fuel you have, the more you have to lift. And so then it's like.
Yeah. So the rocket was 5,700 pounds and probably like 5,000 of that was rocket fuel.
So, dude, there's like even a weather balloon is like, then the weather balloon has to be huge.
Where are you going to get 5,000 pounds of rocket fuel?
I don't know.
You can't do it. You can't, a person can't get to space.
Not a person.
Rocket nerds would have done it by now if it's possible.
No, they're like not allowed
Kevin,
to.
It's money, man. No,
and you know,
honestly,
they're nerds because they follow
rocket
the rules.
Nerds are, yeah, exactly. That's why they haven't done it.
If Kim Jong-un can do it, I could
just
do
need
it.
Money. You just need a lot of money.
Yeah, he's got ICBMs, apparently.
I think the first problem is that I don't even know what the ambition actually is because it turns out, like, I don't really know what I consider space because I don't really think about space that much. Because, like, what is the 50-mile line? The Kamen? What does it call it? What was it? Carmen? Kamen? Carmen line?
Such a fancy
what
word.
What is it?
Scott.
Widely accepted definition, space begins 162 miles above the Earth's surface. Why? Is it like, where has this number come from?
They shot a frog into space and that's when its eyes popped out of its head.
It's probably just, it's when the atmosphere is thin enough that some guy was like, yep,
that's it.
That's not an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'll ask ChatGPT. Why? How?
Because even if you get to the Kármán line, you still will fall back on
Earth. Considered space and why?
Maybe, oh,
how far away
is
considered
space
and
why? It's like the least amount of air where you can orbit efficiently or something?
What's it?
ChatGPT says explaining where space begins.
Because wind resistance, air resistance is going to eat a bunch of your energy if you're orbiting.
Yeah.
So you need to go high enough where the density is low enough.
How high are our Starlink satellites? 20 miles? They deorbit after like 3 years.
Don't know where they are. They have to be probably pretty low.
Or five
low,
years
right?
or 7 years. I don't know. But they are low, and that's why they fall out of the sky. You know, they burn up a lot. They have a finite life. Oh,
340
wow.
miles.
Yeah. And they still only have enough fuel to stay in orbit for a few years.
Wow.
So there's still enough atmosphere up there to slow you down.
Huh. Because it's the atmosphere is going to be like, what's the fall off? It's squared, right? Gravity? Fuck, wait. I actually don't know what the numbers are.
So ChatGPT says,
I think once you pass a certain point, there's pretty much nothing. Well, there's solar wind from stuff getting maybe,
but
I don't know.
ChatGPT says it's the Kármán line. I'm trying to get some more info. And it says because above it, it says that you basically need to change the mechanics you use if you want to navigate it. You need to use orbital mechanics to stay aloft. Mm. Whereas below that line, there's enough atmosphere that you can use potentially
air.
More traditional.
So it is wind resistance.
I think it's just like the density of the atmosphere becomes thin enough that it's...
What's the rate of atmospheric density reduction as you go? Is it like squared? Is it squared?
It must be squared.
Because it's basically buoyancy versus gravity.
Based on nothing, I'm going with squared.
I think
final answer.
It's at least squared. Is it squared?
It probably gets fuzzier out towards the end of space.
Well, it's all... Like, gravity is squared.
The solar wind is going to blow it away.
Is that how that works? What the fuck is solar wind?
Just
look at all the shit
pressure,
we don't have to fucking deal with.
It's radiation
here.
From the sun.
I love it down here. No solar wind.
Particles from the sun.
Lots of air. Our eyes stay inside of our skull. You know what? I like having this short conversation about rockets in space has pretty much killed any interest I have in rockets in space.
Uh-huh.
Like, no, that doesn't sound fun. Yeah. That sounds like fucking too much work. Also, why would you ever build a rocket that doesn't go to space? What kind of fucking lame-ass shit is that?
I don't know.
You're like, yay, I went lower than an airplane.
Yeah.
It says the North American X-15 rocket has reached above the Kármán line, but it uses rocket propulsion. Mm. It says Spaceship 1 and Spaceship 2 by Virgin Galactic has reached near Kármán line altitudes.
I'm going to stick to like 2-liter soda bottles and a bike pump, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe some vinegar and baking soda.
Yeah.
Those are good rockets. Mentos? Actually, the best ones is liquid nitrogen.
Oh, yeah. I've tried those before. Those are scary. They kind of just blow up.
You know what I like the idea of more is if my rocket is not going to space, I want to be able to steer it around.
Yes.
But apparently that's not allowed. I don't know what the fucking rules are.
It's allowed.
Apparently, you're allowed to keep your rocket going in a straight line, but the instant you make it so that you're using your controller to make it not go in a straight line, then you get in trouble.
Please, like anybody like manually home in a rocket to a plane or something. Why not?
What's the question?
To be able to steer a rocket from
a
first person
view. A remote
control
rocket is what I want. I want to be able to I want to fly it around as it's bussing.
You can join the military.
That's the only way I'm allowed to do it, and that makes me sad.
Would you be down to fly a fighter jet, like a modern fighter jet?
I don't think I have the blood pressure for it. I'm not even joking. I can barely hang on to consciousness on roller coasters.
Uh-oh.
There's no
fucking
way.
Talking to Sandra about that, and don't you like kind of like gray out?
Oh, I would be. I would be gone.
I do like on loops, and Sandra says she's never gotten that.
The Goliath at Six Flags Magic Mountain, there's like one spot that I explicitly remember disappearing for about half a second. And I was like, fuck this. I'm never going on it again. And I'm pretty sure I would not survive.
That only happened to me once on a roller coaster. It was one of the ones where you like, you sit down, your feet like dangle, and then there's like a thing around
you.
You
held on by your balls,
in.
Basically.
Exactly. But
like
I didn't eat.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't eat, so I was like a little bit lightheaded. And it's the only time I've been on a roller coaster where I almost passed out. But the reason why this is relevant is just recently I had watched one of the YouTube video where the astronaut passed out. But he was at like 9 G's. But they, in the video, I don't know if it was in the video or maybe the comments, I saw something else where they talked about like how you train not to pass out. So they're like, if you start passing out, start flexing your legs so that you don't have the blood go to it and, you know, breathe purposefully. It actually, literally, my vision was just getting blacker and like going into like a little hole. I applied the technique and I came back to life.
Interesting.
It worked. I probably learned does. Something from a random like video.
Compression suits and stuff. Yeah, like that.
Exactly. Now let's see. Nine G's is like
insane.
I mean,
let's see you keep that up for the whole euthanasia coaster ride.
You can flex your ass all you want. What?
Keep that up for the whole euthanasia coaster ride.
Well, like 9 G's is when you're watching the astronaut and it looks like someone's like tearing the skin off his face because it's just like everything's just pulling back. Yeah, that was not the roller coaster I was on.
I would fly one of the Yamaka radar planes that wears the big hat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, those look cool.
There's no fucking way that plane could out-survive me in a G contest.
No
that
way.
Absolutely. Would get, it would get ripped to shreds. The whole top it just, like, falls off.
Yeah. You just drive through, like some mild turbulence,
It's gone.
The reason I asked about the fighter jet, too, is because I was reading just someone talking about it online.
Are you getting drafted or something? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, I was going to say it made me sad because some guy was commenting saying like, what is something that you always want to do, but you'll never experience? And the guy was just like, yeah, I've done a lot of research and it's like, I will never fly a fighter jet. Just that was something he wanted to do. And I thought it would be cool too, but he's like, basically it's just so closed off. Even if you have a lot of money, it's like, you're still not going to be able to, you know, allowed to fly it.
We are the closest probably in our lives to being able to do something like that, just doing YouTube videos.
But you won't pilot it.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't solo pilot it? Yeah.
No.
I'm saying like you're solo flying it.
You could find a private one maybe.
But so here's the thing. They said that no matter how much money you have, there's not a single country on the planet that will let you buy a fully functional fighter jet. So the closest you can get apparently is like Soviet era or like decommissioned Soviet jets. So apparently I think it said some Russian billionaires own some MiGs because they're just like decommissioned old jets, but they're like compared to what you have today, they're kind of
Peter could do it.
There's like websites, there's places where you can go where they like fly you around in a fighter jet.
Yeah, but
Kevin, you want to pilot it.
I've seen it. Looking it up, John.
What? Yeah, but they're all poo-poo ones. You're not flying like an F-35 or like F-22.
They're like maybe like not the newest generation, but they're not like Cold War era.
I want to do the, what was it, the F-22 that did the whole like weird maneuver in the sky?
No,
where it, like,
you're not
going to
be
backwards.
Flying an F-22. Nobody's going to, no.
I want to do
that. Maybe an
F-16
or something. You could probably fly in an F-22 like for a, like, you know, Navy sponsorship or something.
No, I want to do this thing where you break the sound barrier and then flip around. And
I think that it would be super overrated. Like, unless you're doing one of the crazy, like the fucking Blackbird, like high altitude flights.
Uh huh.
Which I don't think that.
Yeah, unless you get to like break the sound barrier.
Yeah, but even that, I don't think you're going to be like, I didn't even notice anything.
No, you don't. But I think that like, honestly,
all you know is just,
I think flying one is pretty cool. Because I think in terms of maneuverability and speed and just like,
if I'm not
being able
that
to
fucking
do
Reddit post, the copy pasta of the Blackbird pilot.
Oh, yes.
Then
yeah,
I'm
uh-huh.
not flying in that plane.
Yep.
Like unless I'm getting from like New York to Vegas in 35 minutes on the taxpayer's dime, I'm not getting in.
That's also a point. Doesn't it take like $10,000 an hour to fly or something?
This is the one where you fly with like old fighter or like, you know, active fighter pilots. Yeah. Oh, there's an F-18 one.
I don't want to fly with old in an old fighter. Yeah, I want to fly with an old fighter pilot.
Yeah.
90 years old.
I want to have to land the plane because he let me fly the plane.
Say,
I out G maneuvered him.
I think there's very little. Having never flown or been in one, I think if you were able to have free reign in a modern fighter jet, it would be a pretty fun thing to do. But I also think that probably the most exciting thing you can do in a fighter jet is fight. And there's probably, once you do that, nothing compares to the adrenaline you get when you're actively having to crank it to its limit because there's somebody trying to blow you up.
That's a weird looking plan.
Do they? I don't think you want to shoot each other though. They don't shoot. That doesn't happen. There's like no dogfighting.
There are dogfights.
There's like a thing that you can do where it's like laser tag with airplanes.
What?
Yeah.
In real life?
Yeah.
That's.
I think John clicked on that one. It was like the ones with the two planes, Ace Academy or something. Yeah, Sky Combat Ace.
And this is,
I don't know how real it is. You know, it's probably like all simulated, but
I feel like
there was some in Ukraine, obviously, like in war, you're going to have.
They're not shooting at each other, though. They're like launching missiles and doing like ground to air. Are they actually dogfighting?
No.
There were some of them.
I'm pretty sure like all the scope creep of these planes is so that you can take, you can like from 100 miles away.
It's always like just surprise man pad, you know, portable air defense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean that's 99% of the time.
Fight. It's just like, oh, some bozo shot a rocket at me from the forest, and now, yeah,
and now I'm
that's
in the forest.
It. Yeah,
I mean even here, I found a clip in Ukraine. It says it's, you see like the two contrails intertwining because it's like allegedly. Mm. I mean it for sure happens. It's not common, but it's like
maybe like
it
when
for
the
sure
war
happened.
First started, there was a couple.
Honestly, probably the most epic dogfights were in World War II.
Yeah. The planes were like just slow enough where you could shoot each other.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying it's slow enough that you can shoot each other, but your planes were also slow enough that you could get out of your plane. Like the things where it's like you could just pull out, you can open the window and like shoot the pistol out the window at the other guy.
Tally ho! Like,
you know what I mean? Like
fire a broadside.
When you're going, when you're breaking the speed of sound, you're not opening a window. But when there's, yeah,
that was
you could do some crazy maneuvers when the planes were kind of slow.
Sky pirates.
Yeah, like you could jump onto the other guy's plane hypothetically.
Red Bull did it. Okay, I'll let you have that one.
Kevin, I'm saying hypothetically.
Did
you ever see the thing about the fighter jet who ejected at above the speed of sound?
Oh, how'd that go?
Not good.
You know,
I think
he
instantly broke.
That would be bad.
I think his whole body just like broke the moment he ejected.
Do you think if they did like a supersonic simulation on his face, if like the shock diamond,
dude, probably
the bow, it looked like his face.
I bet you
the shockwave.
The difference in like the difference in force from drag across your body is so enormous that it would just rip your fucking body off of your neck. Like the force on your torso is gonna be so much bigger than the force on your head that it might actually just shear your head off. If you were to simulate like an instantaneous acceleration into air,
yeah,
I think that is what would happen.
Well, no, because it'd be like getting hit by
by different cars at different spots in your body all at the same time.
It's like getting hit by a shockwave from a bomb, except it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
it would be bad.
Like imagine the air pressure on your chest and the air pressure on your skull.
Yeah.
Like
I'm pretty sure it's like you almost basically guaranteed almost die.
I feel like it would rip your head off.
There's a guy who did it.
And did his head stay on?
Yeah. But yeah, I think he like his body got absolutely eviscerated.
Yeah. It would definitely be bad. I mean, it might not rip your neck off, but it would like fold your head backwards.
Yeah,
I think it was like his. I don't know what
it'd be
it
like
did.
In the
yeah,
bed of a
like
truck. Like it
your
folds
arms
into the
just,
bed where it's safe.
Well, that's why you get strapped into the seat. Like when you pull the thing, I think it's just like it locks you into the seat.
So his head wrapped around the seat.
Yeah, it just like basically went around.
I think it would have folded. Oh, is there like a headrest?
Yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Even the ejection though is brutal. Doesn't it like can cause spine compression and stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, man.
It's just, I think it's like you're just borderline sitting on an airbag and it just pops you out the top.
How much time do we have left?
I think we're basically done.
Did we check on the
birds?
Trying
to get away from us?
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Did we miss the birds?
Maybe.
Oh, we're trying to catch birds right now.
We have a trap.
All right. Well, we're going to go check on our bird trap really quick and then we'll see you guys over on Patreon for the extra podcast. I love It make
the one thing. Yeah,
the one thing on the whiteboard that we didn't talk about definitely feels more like a Patreon topic. I'm not reading that out loud.
All right.
All right, we'll see you guys on Patreon. Thanks for the support. You can click the link in the description if you want access to all the extra episodes. They're basically the same exact thing as the public episodes you're watching now. But there's an extra one every single week. Thank you guys for
including this week.
Including this week. And there's a whole back catalog you can go through.
So go watch the extra next.
We love you.
Mwah.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.